Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chumbi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Sweet, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Chumbi from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM,
good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Chumbi. And it's the time of the evening that we discuss business affairs, economics, trade, and everything that is affecting our bread and butter. We are greeting you from your one and only number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia. That is Eagle FM. We understand some of you are already at home. Some of you are traveling back home. Some of you are going to work. And there are also those who sleep with shoes on, particularly the men and the women in the uniform. We are greeting you. We are saluting you because you are the one who keep, the lights on, the security guards, the police officers, the military. Speak about, paramedics and, also medical professionals. We are greeting you. And, the job that you are doing is great, and you should not give up because we must do. At the point where we are in time, we must do more than an individual. We must do more than what we do for ourselves, because Namibia needs you more than ever, especially when it comes to issues of, expanding the Namibian, economy, and also making sure that, the life, the quality of life is improved in Namibia. And the most important thing is happiness, because in any development, in any state, the absolute aim is to make sure that citizens are happy, not only happy for the sake of humorous actions, but happy that is aligned with satisfaction. Because you must be able to remember that if you are angry most of the time, it could be that your needs are not met. It could be that your basic needs are not met as a parent. It could be that the needs for your children are not met, or the future of your children is not yet clear. But that is some of the things that we need to look at. And before we go to what we will discuss today, there's a lot of things happening. There's a lot of things happening. If you look at Iran, there's a lot of things happening. There was a barrier of some of hundreds of security forces who died in protest. We have counter, and you also have pro, changes or pro-revolution, what it's called. And you also have pro-regime of Iran. And you see that when you look at history, you'll be able to realize that the world have never moved forward, especially in terms of, politics, although we have advanced in different levels in terms of technology. But what it has been done when it comes to change of government, it's like things continue to be the way they have been. And we are saying, if you look carefully, you realize to say that other countries, many countries has fallen. And you look at the superpowers such as the US, the only remaining country which has been a force of nature, to say, Iran, has been very difficult to take down. That's why security analysts are saying the only thing that to put Iran down is when a revolution is eating itself from within, which is hardly possible because of their structure, their operation, and how things are. But I was reading somewhere, especially looking at the economy of Cuba, the foundation of Cuban economy. Then you also look at some of the postures and moves, especially from the U.S. administration currently. Then you start realizing to say, you know, some of these people, they have been around for quite a very long time. They know how the economic system is working. And we realize that Trump did not abandon, or administration of Trump did not abandon Africa. Because if you look at the development in the United States, you'll be able to realize that Africa Growth Opportunity Act is about to be renewed, especially when you look at what have happened, and you look at what have happened recently, when the U.S. House of Representatives have passed a bill that is to extend African Growth and Opportunity Act until 2028, and that is during the administration of Donald Trump. And you're asking yourself to say, why there was a gap? Was is this a strategy of carrot and stick? Is this a mixture of pain and love? And what is that that have prompted the House of Representatives, also especially also representatives from both houses, to agree on voting for extending of Africa Growth and Opportunity Act? Because when you look at the numbers in terms of calculation, you realize that the AGOA was extended by 340 to 54, with 394 people who have voted, or 394 members of U.S. House of Representatives who have voted, and only 54 who did not agree, but 340 American lawmakers have agreed for the extension of African Growth and Opportunity Act. And for those of you who are hearing African Growth and Opportunity Act, AGOA, it's a trade agreement between the United States of America and also African countries, particularly sub-Saharan African countries, to trade in the U.S. market without tariffs or with special treatment, and in order to make sure that African economy expand and also able also to stand on their own. It started during Clinton's administration, and it was entered into from 2000 there. And I remember last year when African leaders, some of them, they even traveled to the United States of America to say, no, please, that Trump, look at us, we are here. Please renew the AGOA, renew AGOA. But it seems like things are moving to the positive side in terms of AGOA, because after the U.S. House of Representatives pass it with this majority, then when it's go to the House of Senate, from there, they go directly to the office of the big man himself, Donald Trump, just to give a signature and also to continue that trading. But there are some policymakers, who think that South Africa should be excluded. There are some policymakers who think that South Africa should be excluded, especially from Africa Growth and Opportunity Act renewal, or that aspect. But one of the reason being is that South Africa participated in anti-American posture in the global affairs, especially looking at the naval exercise. But we are yet to see. We are yet to see, because the Democrats, the advisors of Donald Trump, they are looking at numbers, they are looking at calculations, and also to see those who are at House of Representatives, especially from the Republicans, where Trump is from. I think they have made their calculation to say we cannot live without Africa, or maybe they read what will happen in Africa, especially looking at positive prediction of 2026. But this is a topic that we are going to expand more, especially tomorrow with Early Morning Scoop. But looking at this conversation, especially when I indicated that I was looking at some of the background of economy of Cuba, then we'll be able to realize that one of the things which I've found out is that one of the things that Cuba did well is universal education policy that allow primary, secondary, and also improvement of literacy and tertiary institution also to be funded by the state, especially in terms of under their policies of socialism and Marxist, Leninist ideologies. But it was also interesting when you are looking at what have happened, especially from the 1960s there in Cuba, especially when they have reached their revolution under Castro, and also with the assistance of Ernesto Che Guevara. Realize that the Cuban education system is one of the things which have succeeded, because they went to the villages to make sure that everybody is literate. However, looking at the history of a Cuban economy, you realize to say, although communist ideology have been placed there, you realize to say the progressive Cuban or long-term political thinker, they change with time. They change with time in terms of thinking and in terms of operating, because it was pointed out that even in the whole of Africa, the only person who was in the whole of Africa, there was no really pure communism, because communism on paper, it really worked. But when it's coming to practical application of communism, Marxist, Leninist, it's a contested ideology, which it looks like it's proper, but it's not a bit practical. That's why if you dig deep down history, you'll be able to realize that one of the things that divided Fidel Castro and Ernesto Che Guevara is principles on ideologies. That's why Che wrote to say, no, even in Africa, these guys, I went to assist them with their revolution, but no, they are not real communists. They only use their ideology to get Soviet assistance. Quite interesting. It's quite interesting, especially when you look at what is your ideological position, what is your theory before you come to practical reality. But that is some of the things that we should look at into. But the conversation for today, we will be looking at the role of youth politician post-elections. And we really need to look into this aspect to say, we have been speaking about youth participation, but what is the role of youth politicians post-elections or after elections? We are seeing we have thousands and thousands of young people in Namibia with different political ranks, from section leaders, some are branch leaders, some are organizers, some are, you know, different names based on political parties. But it seems like we don't see them after elections. We don't see them giving policy position. We don't see them on projects. But we also need to look at to say, are we going to be how we have been? Or we need to change this trajectory to say, if you are a leader, you must have something on your name that you are doing. You must have a project that you are doing. You must have an agenda that you are pushing. And you must also be visible, especially when it comes to, you know, the youth wings and the youth branches, youth, you know, either is youth command or youth, you know, section within the main body of politics. Because one analysis in South Africa indicated that you know, the politics of influential youth politics in ANC ended with the time of Julius Malema and also his generation. And also somebody may also want to compare with the politics of youth politics in Namibia ended with who? It's up to you to interpret. But it's a question that we are going to ask today. And maybe also to bring about what does it mean to be a youth politician? Because we don't only need to see people during elections, but at least also assist those who need assistance, especially you don't need to have all of your project, but also in terms of information dissemination, in terms of building relationship, and also in terms of not only speaking, but bring about practical realities. And also, what example are the youth politicians giving, especially to ordinary young people? And is that the generation that is going to lead us in generational transformation? Because it's undeniable that in the next 20 years or so, the songs of politics of the liberation will come, not really to say will come to an end, but there will be a transformation to say those who are born in 1980 will be elders, those who are born after 1990 will be elders, and they will be active in all sectors of development. But in terms of politics, what are the young politicians doing? What are policy position? Are they unique? Are they different? Do they have a standing ideology? Do they have, new ways of thinking? Are they reading somewhere? Are they following what is happening? Or they are just part of politics of, elections? And how are we going to bridge the gap between the first generation, the second generation, and the generation after independence of Namibia? Because if you are not having this discussion, after 10 years or 20 years, we'll be in limbo, because we have failed to transform, and we also have failed to bring the new generation of leaders that are going to champion Namibian policies, that are going to champion continental policies, and indeed that are going to see the industrialized Namibia moving forward. Those are the questions that we are going to ask. But before we go there, let us look at the short commercial break. Then from there, we go to the main conversation. However, you are welcome to give your opinion and also your views, 083-888-401-083-888-401. What is that young politicians are doing, youth leaders are doing after elections, either is those who have political office or those who are at the party level, all political parties in Namibia. And I wonder what those leaders of political parties in Namibia do to speak with their youth branches, and also ask them a question to say, what are you standing? Have you ever disagreed with your elders on policy matters? You don't need to be intimidated, but you just bring about a different perspective in that boardroom, or you are just, you are doing very well, until to the point where things are collapsing. Because remember that young people, the active generation, are the one who can be able to see. They are the one who can also be able to have energy, and they are the one who have fresh ideas. But are we seeing that, or we are seeing a continuation of the politics of the 1990, the politics of 2000, and the list continue? And what need to be done to make sure that we strengthen those institutions, so that when the young people time come, they are people of quality. They are the leaders of quality, uncompromised, and also those who the generation after our generation will look up to, and also the heroes of today. Or we are just young politicians on TikTok and also on social media, but we cannot able to stand up not only about argument, but bring about fresh ideas and fresh ways of thinking. So let's look at the short commercial break. Then from there, we continue with the conversation.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
Want to know
staff.
About Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chambi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Chambi from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM.
We are moving forward with business and economic segment with me, David Chambi. And today we are asking a question, especially to the youth leaders, youth politicians, to say, what do you guys do after constituency elections, after local authority elections, after general elections? What do you do? All of you, what do you do? What is your contribution when it comes to Namibia development? Do you have a youth position? And it's also saddening to see only few Namibians, especially few young people, that stand up and discuss issues that are really affecting the future of Namibian youth and also the future of Namibia at large, especially when it comes to education. When it comes to education, when it comes to economic matters, and it's quite saddening because one thing that we must be able to realize as young people is that when you are given the responsibility, a position of power and influence, you must not just use it for your CV. And you agree with me that wherever you go, you find this person or different people to say, no, I'm the branch secretary for Nudo, I'm the branch secretary for SWAPO, I'm branch secretary for PDM, LPM and all this political party, and you are asking yourself, yes, some are really doing something, but majority of them, when you ask, okay, now you said you are leading a youth section, you are leading a youth, is that a title or there is something that is attached to your name that you have done, that you are advocating for, or that you are doing? Is there a project that you run? And it's quite something that I've seen in many cases, in many circles. Somebody can stand up and say, no, look, I served in the youth wing of any political party from this year to this year. I went up the structure and I did this. And now I'm here. Now you're asking yourself a question to say, okay, when young people, matters are being brought about, what did you do? Have you spoken to the leaders within your areas? Have you done something? Or you are just having that title as of your CV? And are you doing justice for yourself and also for this country? Those are some of the things that you really need to look into, because you cannot drive economic development without understanding Namibia trade policy, without understanding what AGOA is, without understanding how much we spend on developmental budget. So, good evening.
Yeah, it's still good morning.
Good everything. Yeah.
How are you doing?
How are you?
No, we thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is AGOA.
Mm.
And I think there is a renewal going on, and I'm happy that you have told us that.
Yeah.
And you see, the problem is that the European countries and many others,
yeah.
So at least they believe in Africa.
But is Africa believing itself?
That is the awareness that we need to create. So that we can, because you see, even if we find ourselves at the bargaining table, we should be able to make sure that, yes, we have the resources.
Mm.
You were talking about the youth now.
Yeah.
And the youth are actually big resources for us. And maybe we are not realizing that. And maybe for us, we just need to be, I don't know. So, and these things of Africa and the communism and all these other philosophies.
Yeah.
So we know already that communism did exist in Africa.
Did it work?
Yeah, it was working well because we used to see people lying behind one another. They have a common purpose.
Mm.
Unlike this time around, where people are just concentrating on the individual kind of a thing.
Mm.
So I think we just need to make sure that we tap in and we put some kind of negotiation to be so much on that, because we have an advantage.
Yeah.
On our side.
Yeah.
So if we cannot bargain or negotiate to have a big check and also give the European some kind of precondition, then we are going to get better results. So now our youth, yes, for example, now we are talking about youth from different political parties. Are they only visible when elections are conducted?
I'm not seeing them. I'm even trying to look for them in different towns. I'm not seeing them, but you don't know where they are going to come from during elections time. But what are they doing, and are they doing justice to those positions that they have, especially party structures? Are they doing something, or maybe it's me who's not seeing them?
No, you could be seeing them because we only need to see them on demonstration.
And
they demonstrate, and they can also go out there and mobilize people. Mobilize their clients to get into some kind of project. To get into some kind of project. Not necessarily just to raise their voice when the elections are coming.
Yeah.
We understand that one.
Yeah.
So can they also go now in the community, mobilize those youth, and facilitate for a development project? Why are they not doing that?
No, it's a question also I'm looking into to say, what is the activeness of youth wings and youth leadership in Namibia? Because we only see titles and we meet on social media, but I'm also asking to say, in terms of what they do, what is exactly that they do? And is it only a matter of putting it on my CV to say I was a secretary at the region, at the national level, attending meetings and all those? But can we do that self-assessment, maybe to see what can we do to improve, especially at this current situation?
I think that you are correct. But then, Because demonstration is good.
No, it's not really just about demonstration, it's just about doing something.
No, I'm just saying that because you only see them when they are demonstrating. And in that way, they must mobilize youth to get into development projects. So, for example, Omafuma.
Yeah.
Those projects are emerging.
Okay.
And there are many, many, many others. Can they combine their efforts and then forget about their differences of these political parties and things like that? So just to create some kind of synergy among themselves so that they can move mountains.
Indeed.
So
indeed.
Now the youth are there. Even I think the youth are also asking, where are these people who used to come there? Where are the Mselelos? Where are these other ones? Where are these other ones? Because they are good. If they can put their energy in mobilizing the youth and also to go where they can be funded, I think that makes more sense. So let's not just be, because sometimes when they are doing those things, they confuse the other matters. There is somehow confusion there because the youth, there are those who are very desperate. And then it's now this time around. Can they also mobilize the youth and say, please, let's go and get funding from wherever the fundings are? Because I always listen to people here talking about funding, the fundings are there, and things like that. Are they not the youth leadership? What are they actually doing to mobilize for resources to undertake some of this development project?
Even assisting in terms of the leadership within the constituency, even assisting your councillors, you can have different political parties, but if you have an idea, you just have an idea. And if you have something to put on the table, an issue to raise, it's more easier. Because what we see, you are even shocked to see that, for example, we have a constituency address or community meeting, but you only find old women and a few men, no young person. But that constituency during political rallies, you see that, no, from this area to this area, that is my area, is me who is in charge. In Namibia, we even have this thing to say, even if you you are assistant to the secretary, you want that position to be mentioned. And, if you don't mention that, they will not respect you to say, I'm who, and I serve as what. But when you say you serve as what, do you really understand the meaning of that term that you are bringing about, that you are serving? What have you served the people for the past 5 years within that, constituency, within that branch, within that regional leadership, or is just formality and meetings?
I think it's something to be discussed further. And then thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
I think the youth are also listening and they must do something more meaningful.
Yeah, they must do something because some of them are very closer to power and they are not doing anything.
Very much closer to power.
Yeah.
Even in their different political parties.
Yeah. They are very closer to power. They can influence policies. They are closer to lawmaking. But maybe it's something that we are on our way to, because we don't need to be negative. Maybe it's something that, we are on our way to. Maybe they are also, being sensitized about it. But that is what we need. Alright,
Chirina.
Oh, okay.
That's your problem, man. I'm spreading a kid by a puka. They need to examine the authenticity of some of this information that they are disseminating because they can lead people to hell.
Okay. Alright. Yeah, it's 40 minutes past the hour of 1800 hours. We have enough time, especially extending the conversation. It's the issue of self-assessment, critical self-assessment, because if we cannot assess ourselves, how do we expect others to change? How do we expect others also to behave, but we need what we call a critical self-assessment to say, really, if in 2025 I did not do this well, in 2025, if I was just a leader by title, maybe 2026 I have to do one or two projects, or maybe I have to reach out to this person, or I should not just use my title for personal benefit, but also for people that voted and also trusted me, so that I can be able to become changes. Because there is one thing that we need to be very clear about, especially not generational conflict, but generational gap in terms of transferring of leadership. It is undeniable that majority of active workforce across Africa, young people, and you also be able to agree with me, especially in terms of statistics, in terms of where you are finding yourself. Just look around local authority councillors, constituency councillors, you'll be able to realize some of the faces that you see are very new faces. Look at Namibian Parliament, very new, very young, few seniors that you are finding, and that should tell you something. And look at the corporate sector. Very few young Namibians. Look at now. Take that and look into the future. Look at the gap being felt moving forward in the next 5 and 10 years. How, who, which one are going to fill that gap? Which young people are going to fill that gap? Are they ready for that? Because there has been something that has been stated a lot of time, because, you know, when you are surrounding the cake, you are saying, no, you guys, you are still young, you are the future. But the as time goes, people realize to say, no, when people are saying you are the future, they don't want me to come to the cake. But it's also to say, you are no more the future, you are the leaders of today. But are the leaders of today positioning themselves correctly? Are they agreeing on few things? Are they setting a good example, or it's just business as usual? Because remember, one thing which I have to tell you is that senior politicians are very intelligent. They are very smart because they have high level of human science. They have experience. But when they were young, they also were very clear about where they wanted to get into. But what we are not doing right is that young people who get closer to those who have power and influence, they end up forgetting the common agenda. Had we have that active youth generation, we wouldn't have this thing of young people struggling. We wouldn't have these things of crime rate increasing, housing crisis, education, the complexity in a tertiary education, and misunderstanding in terms of progress in the development, uncoordinated statistics in terms of labor force. We wouldn't have these things if we had young people who understand that. Had we had young people who are very active and also showing need to be done on the ground, we wouldn't have a problem of our influencers being paid by YouTube, because those are technological things should be pushed by young people. Innovation should have been pushed by young people. But maybe it will happen. Maybe it's yet to come. We also need to be positive. But for now, let us look at NRSC and we'll look at the short commercial break. Then we'll come back with a conversation.
The festive season is a time for traveling, a time to reunite and celebrate with loved ones. But most importantly, it's a time to obey the road rules. Check your tires, wear your seatbelt, drive sober, adhere to speed limits, and walk responsibly. Do the right thing and save lives this festive season. Your family awaits.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, it's 46 minutes past the hour of 18, and looking into some of the development. Know that tomorrow is D-Day. It's D-Day in Uganda. It's D-Day in Uganda. General Museveni versus Bobby Wine, musician turned lawyer turned politician turned active participant in not only in the politics of Uganda, but also an influential figure. But looking at what's happening in Uganda, say from today on until the next 24 hours, because it's 48 hours blackout, Ugandan Communication Commission was instructed to shut down the internet if you have your friend in Uganda. Just try to send her or him a text via WhatsApp. It will not reach because every house has its own rules, and internet is a very influential tool that can change the dynamics of politics. And I think Museveni, not only being a political experienced politician, so realized that some of these tactics apparently quote unquote is to stop disinformation. But you're also asking yourself to say, if it's about disinformation, if it's about political propaganda before elections, who are active and able to send those propaganda, and to what level, and also how this is going to change the dynamics? And the instruction is very clear. The information about the election results will only be announced by the electoral body only. That instruction is very clear. And those who are in Kampala will be able to indicate that military personnel are already deployed. I don't know if it's to protect who or to protect people from themselves, but military personnel are deployed. And it's quite interesting to see after many years of the existence of the Organization of African Unity, which turned into AU, the African states continue to be at this level of democracy. And you're also asking yourself to say, if we are truly following the principle of democracy, why are we adding some autocratic and authoritarian input? And also maybe the question also to put out there to say, what is that really that we are doing? And is it only democracy when somebody is doing it, but when somebody is asking you, it's not democracy? Because when you look at, there's somebody who raised the point actually to say, if we have to compare what the discussion, particularly on African Renaissance and African leadership, have been presented. One of the former South African president, Thabo Mbeki, stated that we must look internal and we must give ourselves real advice, especially as African leaders, because there is this commonality of brotherhood and sisterhood, which really need to be based on principles. Because like what happened last year in Tanzania, where all the opposition leaders were jailed, and when protests were cracked down, and also the sitting president ended up getting 98 there of the vote, then the AU election observation realized that preliminary report realized that the elections were not constitutional, the election are not with international standard practice, and there was intimidation, violations, and also some even members of AU observation mission end up hand in hand with the security forces there. And you are just, there asking yourself to say, now what have happened? Other leaders have congratulated, but others, they kept quiet. But also a question of saying, how can we protect the state institutions and institution of democracy moving forward? Because if you are quiet when I'm doing something bad or I'm going out of line, when you come and do that, I also not condemn you. I'll just present it as business as usual. That's why now you're also asking to say, when it comes to the Africa that you want, are we really going to reach 2063 with the Africa that you want? If Africa, African Union, is not even able to protect its own citizens, it's not even able to self-fund when it comes to peace and security missions. But it's also a question of concern, but let's see how things are going to turn out in Uganda. But the wish and the hope of everybody is peace and stability after all the elections, after all the people went to the polls. And also to say, don't preempt the results. Anybody have high chance of winning? If General Museveni wins, that is his democratic right. You cannot condemn. That is a process that has been there, because you should not enter the race with views that you are, you know the results. But let's see what will happen. What will happen in terms of how things have been. But those are some of the very interesting development that we need to look into. Yeah, coming back to Namibia, somebody said I like the concept of national development. But there is no option. That is exactly where we are going. And that is the only thing that can put us together, especially when it comes to address of national issues. Now, when we spoke about youth leaders in politics, we are not talking about those who are in private sector, but youth leaders in politics. Now, looking at 2026, maybe if it's to give input also, and to see, we have a lot of youth pressing issues. Take one and run with it. You can take education system and run with it. Not only condemning, but also providing alternative and practical inputs and recommendation. You can take issues of mental health and run with it. Not only for the sake of presenting yourself to think that you understand. Go deep into that and run with it, and you address that issue. You can be a youth leader in politics, but you can take the aspect or the area or spot and infrastructure development and give Tate Dino a sleepless night for a good reason to say, we want this stadium finished. What is the progress? How should we update our people? Young people, are they in the street using alcohol, drugs, because they are bored? People are bored. There is no job. There is no opportunity. Infrastructure for you for recreations are not there. There is no community gyms. There are also no, sport facility that people can also take out that boredom. But people are just high. People are just there sitting on top of pavement when you move around the street. But what is that the young people need to do to rescue others too? Especially those who are in desperate needs. And I'm very happy. And I'll continue to speak about this, especially Kavango, all the regions. Very proud of those learners, particularly those who really put more effort regardless of the situation on the ground, to say you can still make it if you are at the village. You can still make it even if the odds are against you. And somebody posted on Facebook yesterday to say, no, look, guys, it's only a student who went to private school, then went to the village that are making it, and gave an example of a certain school, which I'm not going to mention, actually, that they will not see, those prices. But one thing that you need to put in mind is that if you are given a book, if you are given a teacher who studied at the same school, and if you are really willing, and your parents put more effort, there is no way that you are not going to pass. If the community really understand that the only way out of this poverty is a real education, then I think the trend is set, and university lecture hall equalized a lot of people. We did not know that we would be in class with children of ministers and CEOs, people that we only used to see on TV. But because of education, you end up being there. That's why people should not be disencouraged, no matter their situation, to go to school. All kinds of schools, not only university, but also vocational training, to pursue what they need, because education will let you to sit in the tables that you only used to see from far, to engage in people that can give you wisdom that you can take your entire life with, and also to guide you. That's why this is the time that parents, guardians, and also youth leaders must play a role in the future of the generation of Namibian young people, particularly those who enter university for the first time. And somebody said we underestimated what has been quote-unquote AMA 2000, to say they have proved themselves. They are not only TikTok people that have been described to be. They are not only children of Hubbly Bubbly, but they are a generation that also understand books. And, you know, it's going to be interesting in the next 15 years. Not really to say 15 years. In the next, 11 years, you see that the COVID babies, they will enter university too. They will enter university too. Don't be shocked that, by 2035 there, 2036, the COVID babies, they also want to enter, university. Because when you look at by 2036, 2037 there, COVID baby will also enter, universities. But it's going to be a very interesting, development out there. But, dear listeners, as we have stated, as we have discussed today, youth leaders in politics must ask themselves a question, and those who are contributing, they must be thanked and must be supported. And those who are just quiet and looking at the next election for them to be relevant, they must really think about people who elected them, and they must really think about people who they are putting down, especially their constituency, which need assistance, which need help, which need immediate critical intervention. So, from me, David Shombe, see you around, bye-bye, and see you tomorrow. Take care of yourself, and I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Mtuma team. Sharp, sharp. Till next time.